And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
I'm GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to this edition where it's just 6 days here before National Signing Day. We have a lot to talk about. I'm extremely tired. I want sleep. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it is not nearly close enough, Luke. So,
All right, Ryan.
If anybody in the background, I want you to know that's a giant English Mastiff named Oxford walking around. So bear with us.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. We haven't talked since January 12th. I think a lot has happened since then. We know that the appeals and hearings are going on actually right now. Can you give us a quick update on that? And then let's get after some, probably some recruiting talk.
Yeah. So the big news of the day is today is the first day of the hearings. And so all 10 players that were named in the EOAA investigation were in, I don't know, if it's not technically court. What is it called, Luke?
It would just be like some sort of university review panel, I would imagine. It's definitely not court.
Yeah, so they're going in front of the panel that needs to hear them out, and today is day one, so I think things today will wrap up around 11. Some of the time you probably are listening to this, we're already on Friday, and so all I really know is, you know, things are obviously wrapped up tomorrow, and they're going to hope to come to a decision sometime here soon, is what I keep hearing, and again, quote unquote soon. I don't know what that means, but knowing it's the University of Minnesota, I wouldn't be surprised if the news comes out on National Signing Day, just because the U loves to shoot itself in the foot. So I know the next question that Luke is going to ask me, what my GopherIllustrated.com members are going to ask me, and what the Twitter sphere is going to ask me is, what do you expect to happen? And I'm going to tell you guys the same thing I've been telling everybody else for the last 3 weeks, and that's, I don't really truly know what to expect, because once again, this is the University of Minnesota Athletic Department. What my best guess would be is that the ones who are not directly involved in the incident in terms of them partaking in that room, the ones who are either supposedly watching or doing what other kind of activities, I think those guys are going to be cleared. So the Seth Greens and the Antonio Chenaux of the world, I think that they'll eventually be cleared through this, and Antoine Winfield included in that. And I think it's anyone's guess as to what the ones who were involved, what's going to happen to them. My guess is that I don't think we're going to see them playing football at the University of Minnesota again, but, you know, I think it's just an educated guess at that. Luke, I mean, do you have any differing opinions than that from me?
I seriously have no idea what to expect. I don't know anything about the formalized process. I mean, you've got three people reviewing this. It's ultimately their decision. As far as I understand, I don't actually know how that actually works. And I really, really, really have absolutely no idea. I don't think anyone really feels like they have any idea. The fact that it's, you know, not a court of law where everything's kind of understood procedurally, it's kind of anyone's guess except for the people, you know, that are probably in that room.
Yeah, so it's tough for Luke and I to speculate. I know that a lot of people want us to speculate. A lot of people want other media types to speculate about this. But the God's honest truth is, folks, I mean, there's a lot of ways that these things can play out. And we aren't really going to know until they finally come to a decision of it. So, again, what we think is going to happen, what is actually going to happen, are probably going to be totally different things. But that would be my guess anyway in terms of the hearing. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I know you also asked me about what's happened in the last 2 weeks since we've talked last.
So. Right. So it was last time we talked was January 12th. And, you know, it's been crazy, right? Like it seems like just about every other day there's a commitment or a decommitment. A lot's changed, a lot of visitors, right? A lot of official visitors, and which is probably not terribly uncommon is different programs around the country trying to fill out their recruiting classes for a given year. So, you know, since the 12th, what's happened?
I think the question is, what hasn't happened? It's been a lot of sleepless or not as fulfilling of sleep nights. So we'll start with the commitments since the 12th. The first one would probably be the most meaningful to an extent, and that would be Demetrius Douglas, a former Golden Gopher legacy. His dad is Omar Douglas, who was a Gopher wide receiver. Yeah, and I believe he holds the record for most touchdowns in a game. I believe he had a 5-touchdown game against Purdue back in his day. And Demetrius was committed to the University of Oregon at the time because that's where his dad works. He works out at the Nike headquarters out there in Oregon. So he initially committed to Oregon over Minnesota back in July. And then Oregon went through a coaching change. Minnesota went through a coaching change. And I can tell you that when PJ Fleck was hired, the Douglas party was extremely interested in getting back in touch with Minnesota. And on the first day that PJ Fleck could hit the road and go out and recruit, he made sure to make a point of emphasis to head out to Oregon to see Demetrius and his family. And a couple days later, I believe it was on a Saturday, because I was in the middle of sitting in the middle of my friend's wedding, and Demetrius texted me that he committed. So the 60-year-old man next to me with his wife, while I'm tweeting in the middle of a wedding ceremony, weren't too courteous and gave me a couple of looks.
Yeah.
So Demetrius ended up committing to Minnesota over Oregon, obviously, and Notre Dame. Again, I mean, you can make the argument that, you know, Minnesota had a leg up because Omar being here, Demetrius lived here until he was 15. But again, it hasn't been it's been a long time since I've seen a recruit choose Minnesota over the University of Notre Dame. And Notre Dame actually really wants him. So Demetrius is going to play wide receiver at Minnesota. Notre Dame was recruiting him as a defensive back. I believe he was committed to Oregon as a defensive back. He's got position versatility to play either side of the ball because the old staff was recruiting him as a defensive back. And when you watch his tape, I think it's clear to see that athletically he's very, very gifted. And I think that obviously you should trust a PJ Fleck wide receiver evaluation between Daniel Braverman and Corey Davis. So a couple of NFL guys they put from Western Michigan. So Demetrius Douglas is probably the one that stands out there. And they also got another wide receiver commitment, this one from Harry Van Dyne, someone from Blue Valley High School down in Kansas. And and that's actually another good story because Harry has a brother who went out and played junior hockey, and then he decided he wanted to go play college football again. And he's currently walking on at the University of Iowa.
Oh.
And so his brother walked on and was a mid-year enrollee at Iowa. Mm-hmm. And that same day that he walked on and was getting moved into campus, Iowa offered Harry. So you're thinking the brother connection there. And then Harry came on an official visit to Minnesota that weekend. And he decided, you know what, I want to go to Minnesota, even though my brother's going to Iowa. So that's a pretty good get, in my opinion. He's probably, I believe he's the second-rated recruit in Kansas. He's someone that had a fantastic senior year, and that's how he blew up and got on the radar. He's a big, long strider, someone with some deep speed at 6'5", 185 pounds. The issue is, since then, I can tell you Kirk Ferentz, as we're recording this, went to his high school today to try and convince him to come on an official visit to Iowa this weekend. So the world in recruiting never stops spinning, especially when everybody's really going balls to the wall to try and fill out a recruiting class six or 5 days away from National Signing Day. So those are the two wide receiver commitments. The next one is going to be Reondres Estes. He is a quarterback of sorts from East St. Louis High School in Illinois, 6 foot, 170 pounds. So what you should take away from there is he's not set in stone as a quarterback. And I know here at Scott.com, we have him committed as a quarterback. That's what his position is. It's what he wants to play. And he will get a shot at quarterback at Minnesota. But I think down the line, what position you see him at is probably cornerback, because you can see the athleticism oozing off his tape. He does play cornerback in high school as well. But again, he wants a shot to play quarterback, and this staff is going to give that to him. Again, is it going to be a Donovan Jones type of situation where, sure, Donovan will let you play quarterback for a fall camp or for a couple weeks, but then you can see that you can help this team out at more positions, but just a different position. I think it may be the case like that, but he wants a shot at quarterback, and Minnesota was able to get that through to him, and PJ got him to commit. So He was also committed to Missouri at the time, so he was committed to an SEC school, and I know Illinois was pressing hard to try and get him. And I think all three schools know that his long-term destination is probably going to be defensive back at the cornerback position, maybe a safety, but I think corner. But Minnesota will give him a shot at quarterback, so he's going to come in as a quarterback. We'll see how that plays out from there. And then finally, the two commitments that happened over the weekend, I mean, they're very big to in terms of positions of need, are two safeties and two very highly rated safeties, one by the name of Kendarian Handy Holly from Jackson, Alabama. He was someone that was in the Scout 300 as a four-star for much of his career. He's 6'2", 200 pounds. He had a bunch of SEC offers early in his career, and just for whatever reason, he kind of, I want to say, fell off the radar. But he saw his recruiting dip a little bit, and I can guarantee you that has nothing to do with academics, has nothing to do with his grades. It's just, I think he got lost in the shuffle, and Minnesota made him a priority under the old staff for a very long time, and PJ made sure to continue that. So I know Florida, Virginia Tech, and one other SEC school that is escaping me right now, we're all trying to get in-home visits with Kendarian when he got back from Minnesota, and he said, nope, I'm just going to shut down my commitment. So we have him rated as the 25th best overall safety. Again, he is a four-star, 6'2", 200 pounds, extremely gifted athletically. Then Adam Beck is someone from George Ranch, Texas, someone that PJ Fleck went down and saw today. He's someone with other offers from Mississippi State. And again, the connection there being Maurice Linguist is Minnesota's new defensive backs coach. He's the one that offered him there. So he was originally committed to Texas Tech. He also had Colorado, Houston offers, among others. And I can tell you from talking with him, immediately when Linguist took the Minnesota job, he reached out to Adam. And Adam absolutely reciprocated because, and I found it funny to an extent, because I asked him, you know, why Minnesota? He goes, well, have you seen those Texas Tech defensive have you seen Texas Tech play defense, and have you seen Minnesota play defense? Just kind of laughing, thinking, well, obviously big in the Big 12, they don't play defense. And in my opinion, in the Big 10, they do. So he's someone that we had highly rated. I know there's been a lot of Texas and Oklahoma scout analysts that have reached out to me saying Minnesota's getting a good one. This kid is a really good player. So five commitments, all five have Power 5 offers. Again, you get Demetrius Douglas over Oregon and Notre Dame, Harry Van Dyne over an Iowa team, Riandres Estes from East St. Louis over Mizzou in Illinois, Adam Beck, flip him from Texas Tech, and then Kendarian Handy Holly over a couple of SEC schools. So again, not traditionally what I'm used to dealing with here in January, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that there's a lot of official visits, you know, happening now. They're trying to get as many kids on campus, right? Is just to socialize them with the idea of what the campus is like, etc. Of those five guys, how many had taken official visits?
What do you mean by have taken official visits?
Like they've already been on campus.
So Demetrius, Harry, Rayandre, or I'm just going to call him Ray, Ray Estes, Adam Beck, and Ken Handy Holly have all been on campus the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
So once Fleck gets him on campus, he's had a pretty good success right here early.
Yeah, because I recall, you know, the previous staff, Clay's and Kill, feeling like if they could get them on campus, they had a much better chance. So I was just curious how, you know, PJ was able to, you know, basically punch the ticket on some of these guys he's actually getting on campus.
Yeah, he's had a pretty good success rate so far. But again, with you're looking at what is probably going to end up being 10 official visitors this weekend. And you had another 13 last weekend. So we're going to have to see. I mean, he's going against some helmet schools. And yeah. Again, these aren't traditionally things I'm used to going against. And again, you can try to swing for the home run every time like PJ is, but you're going to have to connect on a couple of these. And I think he's shown that he's been able to connect on a few here so far, but mm-hmm. We'll see how he ends the class here. So,
all right, let's talk some official visitors, right? You've got guys coming in. Anybody you should kind of recap that are some guys that have already visited that, you know, people should keep an eye on going forward?
Yeah, last weekend was really busy. Again, I think there ended up being 13 official visitors. Most of them were the guys that PJ flipped from Western Michigan or from another place that they hadn't seen campus yet. So PJ made an effort to make sure that they were on campus last weekend and put them together with some of the top targets. Plus, he had all the in-state commitments that were held over, like Dominic London, Blaze Andres, Grant Rierse. He had them come to the basketball game on Saturday against Wisconsin and then had them spend some time with them that night. So, again, trying to establish that new culture. So some names to know from last weekend, one being a defensive tackle by the name of Kelvin Kegler. I don't think he's really too much in the picture anymore because, you know, Minnesota wanted him. He doesn't really have the greatest of offer lists, but now it sounds like he might be going to visit Georgia this weekend. So Minnesota gave him a time frame of when they needed to know by. And I also know that Kegler has some academic issues. So I don't really anticipate hearing much from Mr. Kelvin Kegler anymore. And then the other two to know who are going to be taking official visits are Jafar Armstrong, who's going to Notre Dame this weekend. We'll start with him. I know that there's been a lot of positive things said from Jafar Armstrong to Minnesota people, and whether that's commits or people close to the coaching staff about where they stand. Jafar is currently committed to Missouri, but I can tell you I don't really feel that that's going to be the place he signs. He obviously took an official visit to Minnesota last weekend. He took an official visit, or he's going to take an official visit to Notre Dame this weekend. And I know from battling with some Missouri trolls tonight who love to pop into my mentions and try and toy with me.
Is that the buzzing believe... we're hearing on your phone? Is that those trolls or?
Oh, you had me staring at my phone. Oh, I needed that. I needed a laugh.
Yeah.
I needed a laugh. I can tell you I don't anticipate him signing in Missouri. On Wednesday, PJ Fleck, Brian Kelly, the Missouri head coach, whose name escapes me, they were all at his high school, Bishop Mage, I believe it's pronounced, the same high school as former Golden Gopher quarterback Max Shortell, who I believe went to Jacksonville State and transferred out. But it depends who you talk to. Again, I tend to be more skeptical than maybe some other people, and it's probably all you Golden Gopher fans wearing off on me, but I have a hard time seeing him decide on Minnesota at this point. I know when he left this past weekend, there were a lot of positive vibes that Minnesota would be the place he goes to, but he is still visiting Notre Dame, and Notre Dame needs him badly. He's got a teammate that is committed there as a preferred walk-on to play offensive line. He's also got another kid from his high school who's going into Notre Dame to play baseball. So there's a lot of connections there. And then he's obviously still got Missouri in the picture. So I'm not exactly sold that he's going to be a Golden Gopher, but I think Minnesota is definitely in play. And then when you look at what Minnesota's got coming this weekend, as in tomorrow when some of these kids start to take their official visits, there is only one committed visitor that you need to know, Chris Bell. He's an Illinois wide receiver. We have rated in the top 80, 90 receivers in the country, which, again, I can't say has happened very often under the old staff. So he's someone that, again, trusted PJ Fleck and Matt Simon, talent evaluation at wide receiver. He looks pretty talented from what I can see on film anyway. But it's the theme to know here, Luke, I think more or less, and I probably should just go position by position, is I think the offensive side of the ball is done, but the defensive side of the ball has some work to do.
All right, so offensively, that's where the previous regime struggled quite a bit. It felt like, I mean, they identified some good pieces, obviously running back, but, you know, and even tight end, but, you know, skill position wise, you know, quarterback kind of hit or miss. Offensive line was a struggle. Wide receiver was a struggle. So it feels good to know that it sounds like they've got a good plan and they're really comfortable with where they're at. Defensively, though, the previous staff, you know, outside of maybe defensive line at times, they were pretty good towards the end here at getting defensive backs and linebackers for sure. So what are your thoughts? Let's start with defense since that's the focus. What do you think you'll see coming in?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. You look at some of the decommitments that Minnesota's had. I believe there's only one out-of-state commit under Tracy Clays that's still around, and I don't even know if he's technically still around in Trey Kramer, but you look at the decommitments from Tracy's previous recruiting class, and I know a lot of people are probably thinking, well, what happened to them now? So you look at the running back that had committed by the name of Ja'Kyle Holmes. Last I heard, he was deciding between Tulane and Louisiana Lafayette. So, again, neither are Power 5 schools. We'll see how that plays out. The wide receiver who was committed at the time, Javon Hawes, is currently deciding between Ball State, Cincinnati, and Purdue. So Purdue, obviously being a Power 5 school, Cincinnati being a Power 5. Again, I don't think it's necessarily a step up from what Minnesota is. So you can make your own assessments there. Brett Cottrell, the offensive lineman from Nebraska, is deciding between the University of Ohio and, I believe, Central Florida. So, but I think he's probably going to end up at Ohio. So going from the Big Ten to the MAC, again, you make your own assessment there. The one that has people talking today is a defensive tackle by the name of Joshua Croslin. He's someone from Texas. You know, his film reminds people a lot of Stephen Richardson because of his height and weight. He's probably 5'11", 280 pounds. He does have that same kind of burst, but it came out today that Joshua Croslin announced on the Twitter machine that he was going to decommit. And from what I've been told, this was actually Minnesota pulling away, which is very interesting, and we'll get into it, because they need defensive tackle bodies in the worst way. And when you look at what they have coming back, they have three seniors and a redshirt junior. And again, I'm not entirely sure what the old coaching staff was thinking there, because again, you look at 2017, your youngest defensive tackle is Gary Moore, and he's going to be a redshirt junior. Folks, he can graduate after next year. Minnesota won't have a single defensive tackle on the body or a single defensive tackle on the roster for 2018 as of right now, which is terrifying. So that was one of the places where I'm not more or less the old staff missed continually in January on defensive tackles. So back to the decommitments, though, a linebacker by the name of Bryson Jackson, someone from Texas, he flipped to Baylor. Can't really blame him there. A lot closer to home, and it's, you know, a school he kind of grew up rooting for. And then finally, the two defensive backs. So Raheem Lane from Sebastian River, Florida, and then Trey Kramer from Cartersville, Georgia. I'll start with Raheem. He decided to go take an official visit to the Fighting Jay Slavels of the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. That's not a surprise, obviously, Slavel trying to get his defensive backs. But as of tonight, I don't think he even goes to Wake. From talking with some Wake Forest sources, Lane didn't really have that much longer of a leash. It was basically crap or get off the pot, because I don't want to have an E next to this podcast. So, and it, as of tonight, he hasn't committed. So I think he's going to end up probably at Virginia Tech or Indiana. Raheem's a good player. So it is what it is there. And then Trey Kramer, that whole deal is another talker. Fleck went in last Thursday, so a week ago as we're recording this. So on the 19th, he went for an in-home visit to go see Trey. Or it was Wednesday or Thursday, either way. And Trey, you know, he got Trey to say, you know, I'm not going to take any visits elsewhere. Well, Trey then goes and takes an official visit to Iowa. And the issue is Trey was telling Minnesota he wasn't there. And other people are telling Minnesota he is there. And finally, Minnesota calls him on his bluff, and it gets awkward. So, you know, both sides aren't particularly happy with one another right now. Trey isn't decommitted, but I don't think he's commit. It's very complicated. He's taking an official visit to Rutgers this weekend. So
would his relationship status on Facebook with the Gophers
it's complicated.
Got it.
Yes, 100%.
I understand. You know.
Yeah, for all the generation, are we Generation X, Luke?
I'm a millennial. You're a millennial. We're both millennials.
Okay. So for us millennials, it's complicated. Do I anticipate Trey Kramer signs with Minnesota? No. I think that relationship is very strained. It's happened on both sides. It's know, I've heard that the first impression from Minnesota to Kramer under Fleck's new staff wasn't the greatest of sorts. But in that same respect, Kramer was not honest with the Minnesota staff. And that's probably not the greatest thing to do either to a new coaching staff who doesn't know you.
Right.
So my guess is Iowa or Rutgers for Mr. Trey Kramer. So the defensive backs look like they're landing on their feet, but everybody else doesn't look like that of sorts. So I don't even remember where we started, but I can tell you the focus of this weekend is going to be on defensive linemen and cornerbacks. Because you have your two stud safeties in Adam Beck and Kendarian Handy Holly, but who the heck is going to play corner? Because, again, say the people in the room for the hearings are not allowed to play football again, or they're expelled or whatever it is. I mean, you're looking at Keontae Harden, Ray Buford. I mean, two of your starting safeties starting cornerbacks next season. You need to find some guys. So as of right now, they're bringing in three corners that I know about, and they are from – one's from New Jersey, one's from Florida, and the other one escapes me, and he's from Georgia. So Georgia, Florida, and New Jersey. And none of them have offers at this current point. So the staff is being very particular about what they want to do there because, again, you have your two safeties. Your long-term prognosis for Ray Estes is that he's probably going to be a cornerback. I mean, how many do you want to bring in and you want to try and fill in 3 weeks, or how many do you want to bank to next year where you think you can get a higher quality?
Right. Well, you also said that, you know, they're looking at Douglas as a wide receiver, but he seems to have position flexibility and can play corner.
But I don't want people to think that he's going to be playing corner. He's got the position flexibility. That's what Notre Dame wanted him at. That's what the old Minnesota staff wanted him at. So, yes, he could probably be a pretty damn good corner. But Minnesota also needs some pretty damn good receivers next season, considering I have no idea who the heck's going to catch the ball.
Right. Well, to that point, I mean, I think it's just really a complicated situation given the hearings, given, you know, some position flexibility. I mean, we have no idea what they're thinking, right? So it just sounds complicated at the corner position in particular.
It is. So the New Jersey kid is Amir Smith Marset. He is someone that was a Rutgers commitment. He decommitted from them because he took an official visit to Iowa last weekend. Now he's taking an official visit to Minnesota this weekend. So I forget who it was on the Twitter machine I saw today, but they were talking about how recruiting is a flat circle because Minnesota's cornerback commit is visiting Rutgers and Rutgers' former quarterback commit is visiting Minnesota. So everything kind of just goes in a flat circle, and then Iowa stuck in between on both. So Minnesota is going to be battling potentially the Hawkeyes and the Scarlet Knights, but again, they have yet to offer Mr. Marset. There's another corner coming from Georgia whose tape I actually like the most of the three. He reminds me a lot of Keontae Harden and Brian Boddy. Is Justice Harris, and his name spelling is fantastic. And it's Just, so J-U-S-T-U-S. That's fantastic. I love these names that I get to deal with in recruiting.
Just us, man. Just us.
Yes. So Just Us is someone that had Vanderbilt. Trying to remember some of the other Power 5 offers he had. I believe he had a Rutgers offer at one time and one other Big Ten school. But he just waited around too long in terms he didn't get a spot. Other places filled. He took official visits to Colorado State and Cincinnati, and he's committed to Cincinnati right now, but he is going to visit Minnesota. I love his tape, to be honest, and I think he's rated far too low for what he is. He's extremely physical in terms of run support. He's not afraid to get in your face, and he plays the ball well. I don't think he's quite the athlete that Keontae Harden is, but in that same respect, I think he's much more physical than Keontae was coming out of high school. So I'm hoping this kid gets an offer because his tape looks like something Minnesota could use. And then finally, there's a kid by the name of Jeffrey Lubin. Someone from South Broward. He goes to Hollywood High School down in Florida. He just took an official visit to Iowa State last weekend, and he does not have an offer as well. But Coach Mo, the DB coach, went and saw him on Tuesday on an in-home visit. So there's a lot of things that have to be sorted out yet. You know, how many of the three are going to get offers? You know, is there another guy coming in this weekend that maybe I don't want to, and the staff doesn't want to put out there yet at the defensive back position? You know, well, maybe. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But my guess would be at least one of them is going to get an offer. Yeah, and I can definitely see two getting an offer as well. So My guess on how the pecking order goes is I think Justice Harris gets one, and I do think Amir Smith Marset gets one. So Minnesota would be battling Iowa and Rutgers for Marset, and they'd be battling Cincinnati for Justice. So it's very fluid, and I think that's what people need to understand right now in terms of recruiting in this whole month of January. It's crazy, folks. I don't think you truly can comprehend how much by the time we end this recording, there's going to be things that I listen back to tomorrow on this podcast that are completely out of date by the time you listen to it, because things change in a matter of minutes. If a specific college makes a phone call to a kid. So
right.
It's very fluid is what I want the people to know, Luke.
Right. Absolutely. So, I don't know. Do you have any other positions you want to touch on, or is that pretty much?
Well, we need to touch on defensive tackle.
That's right. That's the other one you wanted to hit.
Yeah. They're done at linebacker. Trenton Guthrie is already on campus, and between the amount of young talent they have there, plus Blake Cashman likely to get on scholarship starting in the fall. I mean, he's essentially a 2017 recruit. So I would take a Blake Cashman over whatever the heck else they're going to find at this point. But defensive tackle is where they need to – just defensive line in general is where they need to start making some hay, because they do have two defensive ends and a defensive tackle committed right now. Noah Hickox from Boyand, Illinois. Same high school as Demery Croft. Noah Hickox. I already mentioned him, didn't I? Tyrone Chambers from Ohio. I know that Kentucky is trying to get him on an official visit this weekend. Ole Miss had him on it, or was scheduled to have him on an official visit, so Minnesota's hoping to hang on there. And then Ezzy Owatumu. I'm 100% sure I screwed his name up, but he had, I think, three other Big Ten offers when he committed to PJ at Western, and now he's at Minnesota. So you look at who Minnesota's got coming in this weekend. One folks should know is in-state Hopkins defensive end Boye Mafe. I have no idea how it's going to play out, folks, because Boye's recruitment has not made a whole lot of sense throughout the entire recruiting process. And I was talking to Luke about this in the pre-production meeting. I don't know why it would start to make sense now. Essentially, he's down to two schools, the Fighting Jerry Kills of Rutgers and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. The connection to Rutgers is obviously Jerry, but his father, who plays obviously a large part in his life, went to Rutgers University. So you have the father going there. You have Minnesota now in the picture. They've been in the picture. I can't tell you how many times the kid has changed his decision date. It was supposed to be in August. Then it was supposed to be in October. Then it was supposed to be November. Then it was supposed to be the middle of December. Then he was supposed to announce with his teammates in January. His teammates announced he didn't. Well, we're finally going to have some resolution here, because we're essentially 5 days until signing day. He's got to make a decision here soon. And he took an official visit to Rutgers last weekend. He's going to come on an official visit to Minnesota this weekend. I know that some folks are kind of sick of his recruiting. Again, I don't know that he has a tremendous amount of guidance in what the recruiting process should look like. So I don't want to fault him too much, but I do know that he is a fantastic athlete. And I know that I would personally like to see him added at the defensive end spot, because I think he could be a pretty good player there in a couple of years. So 6'4", 220 pounds, has to decide between Rutgers and Minnesota here soon. And then you look at the onslaught of defensive tackles. I think I've counted four or five defensive tackles coming in this weekend. So if you are going to part ways with someone 7 days before signing day, and I don't know if I mentioned it or not, I think Crosland ends up at Houston. If he doesn't end up at Houston, I think he ends up probably at Navy. But there's an onslaught of guys coming in this weekend. One in particular to know is Malcolm Robinson. He is from Maslin, Ohio. And I think folks should know that name, because obviously I think when I was in school, I remember watching some kind of a documentary on the Maslin Tigers and how that town has fully embraced that high school. It's a high school that's put out a ton of talent, a lot of D1 talent. So Minnesota was by there on Tuesday, and I convinced Malcolm to take an official visit. Malcolm then decided he wanted to decommit from Purdue. He also had a Virginia and a Boston College offer. We have him rated here at Scout as one of the 10 best defensive tackles in the Midwest. So I think that it's a lot easier for Minnesota to recruit in a place like Ohio to these high quality of kids other than in the South, because more times than not, what fans have seen is that these kids are more prone to flip to a Southern school where it's a lot closer to home. So
sure.
Malcolm also got his offer today, so he's going to be taking an official visit this weekend. I anticipate Malcolm Robinson joining the Golden Gopher football recruiting class. And then the next one is up for name of the year. His name, from Iowa Western Community College, starting at defensive tackle, from George Washington High School, Royal Silver III. Have you heard it? I deal with a lot of names in recruiting. I've never heard Royal Silver III before, though.
I like it. I like it.
It's interesting. So Royal received a in-home visit from Bryce Popp, who's Minnesota's defensive line coach, yesterday. Minnesota decided they want to take it a JUCO defensive tackle. Again, it makes a ton of sense knowing that Gary Moore is your underclassman and he could graduate after next year, and you need bodies ready. So Silver was a second-team junior college All-American last year. He had, I believe, 13 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks. And from talking with the Iowa Western head coach, he thinks he's going to be, you know, he doesn't think he's going to be a star here, but he thinks he's going to be a pretty good player, which, again, Minnesota needs defensive tackle bodies. And if Royal Silver can provide that next season, I think that could do a lot of things for this defensive line moving into the future. Then you look at a couple of other guys. You look at Ray Horton, someone from Belfly, Kentucky. 6'2", 300 pounds. Someone that's got – when you watch his film, his motor, when it's going, you can see that, you can see the burst. You can see him use his hands well. You can see a lot of different things there. He does not currently have an offer, neither does Austin – This is what you get for low sleep and 6 days before signing. Austin Shurick, he is currently committed to Northern Iowa. And, again, I don't anticipate Minnesota taking him. I think some other things are going to play out at defensive tackle. And, again, there may or may not be another defensive tackle coming in this weekend that is not currently of public knowledge. So you have four defensive tackles right there, plus there may or may not be another. You know, there may or may not be another defensive back on campus, but of these guys that are currently going to be coming in, I think Minnesota takes at least three defensive tackles this weekend. I think Malcolm Robinson and Royal Silver are going to be Golden Gophers. Now that who that last spot is going to be the one to watch. So I think they have to take at least three more defensive tackles. I think they're going to take at least two more defensive backs, and there may be even more. I mean, it just depends on how numbers shake out, because they have 23 current commitments right now. Depending on what happens with Trey Kramer, they're at 22, and they're going to try and get to 28. Again, if they don't feel like they want to push it to 28, they won't. And for folks who are like, well, why don't they just bank it till next year? Well, folks, they're still going to have 20 seniors graduate next year. So plus, there's going to be transfers after the spring, and I mean, they're going to fill out a full recruiting class again next year. So it's very busy, Luke. Again, things are very fluid. I mean, some of the names we're talking about tonight, they weren't very high on my priority list 2 days ago. Again, things are just forever changing in recruiting and whatnot. So it's very fluid. And in terms of where Minnesota's at currently, I believe last I looked, they were in the mid-30s in terms of recruiting class rankings, which would be the highest they've been since 2006, 2008. Okay. And so they're doing well. Mm-hmm. They're currently 34th, and they are still ahead of Iowa and Wisconsin. So for those who only care about that, second straight year that Minnesota's above Iowa and Wisconsin. And then for some people, that's all that matters. So it's I can tell you the next time we talk, I'll be a lot more relaxed. I'll be a lot more refreshed.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much that changes in these last few days up until National Signing Days. Every staff is pushing as hard as they can for these kids. So we'll have to see how it plays out. But I anticipate Minnesota being rated higher than Wisconsin and Iowa. And knowing that Minnesota is going head-to-head with Iowa and winning some battles here in the last couple of weeks, I think that should bring a smile to anyone's eyes. Or, but anyways, that saying doesn't make sense, but that's about where I'm at on a Thursday night.
All right, so I think we'll let you go. Appreciate the update. We should probably let you see, who slid into your DMs in the last 40-ish minutes, and see.
Yeah,
basically,
people can hear my phone buzzing. I apologize, but again, it's information is fast and fluid. And the last thing I'll leave people off with is, folks, as you're listening to this, it's probably Friday. I encourage you to check out my Twitter account at this current juncture, because there is a flash sale going on that is just for today only. It's the best deal of the year. It's 9 months for the price of one. So you get 8 months free on Gopher Illustrated. Again, between Ryan James and myself, I can guarantee you, if you have an itch for Gopher basketball, an itch for Gopher football, and all that PJ Flex here, you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, there has never been and there will not ever be another better time to join for 8 months free. So you can get 9 months for under $10. Or if you do the annual option, which is the $99.95, you get 20 months essentially of GI between Ryan James and myself. Plus you get a year free of Sports Illustrated delivered right to your doorstep. So there is never going to be a better time to join Gopher Illustrated. So we have had record-setting months in terms of subscribers. We've had record-setting months in terms of page views. I mean, people can't get enough of this stuff. And again, we have a message board community that's very welcoming. So if you want to join GI, never has been. All right. Today, on Friday, by the time you're listening to this, there's never been a better time to join. So that'll be my final disclaimer. Luke, I think the next time we're going to talk to folks is going to be post-National Signing Day, where I'm going to go through each one of the recruits and let people know what Minnesota is going to be getting in each one of them. But as it stands tonight, folks, I anticipate at least five more commitments for Minnesota. It's going to be hot and heavy, and I hope to see each and every one of you guys at the National Signing Day social down at TCF Bank as well. I know that's one of my favorite activities, to go have a couple 1, 2, 3 cold beverages with some people and relax again. So it's Luke, why don't you take us out so I can check whoever the heck is buzzing my phone so much.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys all for listening. You can rate the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. That helps other Gopher fans find it if they are searching. So, again, we appreciate you listening, and go Gophers.